All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire podcast, MWR.com. You know who it is, Matt Kennerly, Jeremy Moss, myself here, chatting about we're going with the Potato Bowl, famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Are you excited?
I'm always excited for bowl games.
Did you happen to watch La Tech SMU tonight at all?
I have not had a chance to see that particular game, but I have seen...
You don't need to. You do not need to.
I've seen the Twitter highlights. I've seen the Simpsons gifts, the stop, they're already dead gifts, you know. American power, everybody.
Oh, boy. Do you do the I know this is sort of off topic. Did you do any Bowl Mania, conference pick this year for any reason?
I usually do. I didn't get a chance to do it this time around, no.
Yeah, we should have set one up. We didn't, but that's okay. I'm in one because, I might be able to get a few bucks if I win it all. But you know what I found not a trick, but kind of a food for thought when you're making these picks. And here's what I go with. If your team has a new coach, do not pick them to win. And pick high confidence points as well.
You know, I'm sure somebody's done a study on that, on coaches who are interim coaches, how often they win and how often they lose.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Not me, but it makes sense though, right?
For the most part. Because if I'm not mistaken, before he got hired at Fresno State, Tim DeRuiter was the interim coach for a bowl game at Texas A&M. And I'm pretty sure the Aggies won that game.
Okay.
In retrospect, you know, maybe not that meaningful, but it is something worth, you know, something interesting to think about.
It is. And I was a dummy and only chose La Tech with a 9-point confidence out of 41.
Yeah.
Dang it. I'll get the win, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's just something I thought of. So that could come into play. Any of our bowl games have a new coach? I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware of, especially with what we're going to be talking about tonight.
No, their coach tonight got an extension. We're talking Central Michigan versus Wyoming.
SMU. Chad Morris. That's why, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm talking about that. Yeah, that's why I picked La Tech. That's why I brought that up. For my confidence, because Sonny Dykes took over, and he's coaching now or something. But, yeah, that's the reason I took La Tech. Normally, SMU, they're pretty good. They got the who's the receiver?
Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, Sutton there as a pretty good receiver. So
also Trey Quinn, also pretty good, but apparently not tonight.
Not tonight, yeah. American power. How many bowl games has the American won? Or have they won any yet?
No, this is the first one.
Oh. Also about bowl games real quick, I saw something from Matt Stevens, who's now at the Denver Post, talking about the American plays 4 Power 5 conferences, Mountain West plays 0, or plays 1. Yeah, it's kind of misleading, because first off, you got the Power Bowl bid, which, mm-hmm. Credit to them, obviously, but it's not their bowl tie-in. And the other one, I'm looking at their score here for some reason, but Memphis versus Iowa State, that was a trade-off for a new bowl game. So it's not like they were automatically going to play them. So technically, they only get 2. So those who are complaining, or if you happen to hear this, and why does the Mountain West play only 1 and they get 4? That's why.
There you go.
Look a little deeper, folks. Don't just look at the matchups. But we're going to talk about, like I said, the one matchup, Central Michigan versus Wyoming. It's an afternoon game on Friday. So if you're not working, definitely check the game out. If you are working, definitely check the game out somehow.
Yeah, if you are working, just set it up on your phone. Nobody's going to notice.
Yeah, get your tablet. I got a Note 8. That's pretty much a tablet itself, the Galaxy Note 8.
You have your workstation, and then you have your cell phone kind of hidden out of sight, you know. Then
or
you just kind of sneak a peek every so often.
Yeah, or if you have the dual screen, two monitor setup,
Or even just the radio broadcast.
Yeah, do something, but take this game. It's a 2:00 local time. It's I am hoping and sending good thoughts that there's no ice rink like last year, because that game was exciting as it was with Idaho and Colorado State. I don't want to see guys just slide around when they try to stop and go an extra 12 yards.
Yeah, I forget who exactly, but didn't somebody tear an ACL in that game last year?
I know Marvin Kinsey tore it prior. During bowl practice, I think. But I don't know if it was at Idaho.
Because I do remember Izzy Matthews slipping and falling after a touchdown.
Yeah, falling his butt in the end zone, I think.
Yeah.
I don't recall, but really quick. So the weather for this game, you know, it'd be nice if you click on the AccuWeather link on ESPN, that would take you to the actual city. Not the case. It's expected to be precipitation and 36 degrees in the afternoon, so it's going to be cold. If you're a Boise fan, go show up and go go show up and watch this game. Go find out what's all about the chips. See what Wyoming has, because as we found out, Tuesday? You wrote an article on it today, Wednesday, excuse me. Josh Allen is back. You're going to play.
Not a moment too soon.
Yeah, and I think this is a pretty bad kept secret, because earlier in the week, he's been practicing with the ones, but the dead giveaway was him bowling the other night. It's like, if you can bowl, yeah, you're gonna play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, I think for all of the inconsistency that he's shown this year, and I think if you're going to use one word to describe Josh Allen at this point, it's inconsistent. He still represents a step up from what Nick Smith was able to provide them in the last two games against Fresno State and San Jose State, because, you know, especially when they wanted to throw the ball, you know, it was basically for three quarters in both games, or even three and a half quarters, you could say, he just didn't have any way of doing that, more or less. It was, you know, they rallied in the fourth quarter both times. Both times ended up coming up a little bit short. So I think that at a minimum, you know, if you're Wyoming and you're trying to be balanced, which, you know, this year more often than not, easier said than done. But I mean, they were able to run a little bit in the finale against San Jose State. And when I look at this Central Michigan defense, I do think that there may be some opportunities to run there. But I mean, it's kind of huge ifs all the way around, you know. So even if, for instance, Kellen Overstreet or Trey Woods, for example, if they can combine for, I don't know, 4.5 yards per carry, you know, first big question is Josh Allen rather going to be consistent enough to be able to take advantage of the opportunities he's given?
We'll see. Yeah, because here's the Western Michigan dress defense on a per play basis. Overall, they're okay, like in the MAC, but per play basis, they're sitting like 4.5, which is still pretty good, 4.2.
Yeah,
so. I guess nationally that's just okay, but here's one big number I'm looking at. 27 touchdowns allowed this year.
That's true.
I think that's a lot. Am I correct in thinking that's quite a bit?
I mean, I don't think you are. And even if you narrow it to conference play, you know, the yards per carry goes up a little bit to 4.2 yards allowed, but it's still 16 touchdowns in 8 MAC games, which, you know, if you look through the game log, there's really no, I mean, there's a couple of games that kind of skew it maybe a little bit, because Toledo basically ran them out the door. Mm-hmm. You know, they ran for 310 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. And Western Michigan did the same. They had to survive the Broncos in early November. They averaged almost 6 yards a carry. So I think if you want to look a little bit closer, you could see that they've done well against, I guess what you could say, teams in the MAC that aren't necessarily known for running the ball particularly well. And if you look at their last three games in particular, Eastern Michigan, Kent State, Northern Illinois, you know, the Huskies are probably the best team in that bunch. But, you know, by yards per carry, you know, none of them averaged more than 3.7. So I think if you're looking for a place to start wondering where this matchup could turn one way or the other, it's, you know, Central Michigan maybe a little bit better down the stretch as far as stopping the run game, and Wyoming really scuffling with that all season long.
So is it the passing game perhaps? Because their pass defense is basically the opposite. Instead of being top third in rush defense, they're bottom third, at least conference-wise. And that Toledo game, it's kind of interesting because they have Logan Woodside. I'm saying only here, but 300 yards passing, that's it in that game, essentially. And that seems below his average, I believe. Like, they've had games like hit or miss, like it's Wagner. I'm not going to include them. Sorry. Northern Illinois scored 35 points, but only threw the ball 11 times against them for 60 yards. They're like 127 versus Akron, Kent State 119, then Central Michigan. Or wait, am I the right team? Oh, I'm looking at the wrong team here, folks. I'm looking at Western Michigan. What am I doing here?
I was like, wait a second.
Too many Michigan. I'm like, wait, they're the best at pass defense. I apologize, folks. Too many Michigans. Eastern, Central, Western.
You got to make sure you get the right directional Michigan next time.
No kidding. I apologize, folks. Central Michigan, never mind. They are best in pass defense in the MAC conference. I guess one area that's positive is that they do have Shane Morris, former Michigan quarterback. Is that correct?
That is correct.
They do have 19 interceptions on the year.
That's true.
Was it 13 by him, I believe?
Yeah, I believe in his three keys to victory, our Wyoming writer, Jesse Tachikin, did mention that Central Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, number one in the country in takeaways.
But they have 19. Oh, he mentioned turnovers as a key battle. I'm just fixated on the six interceptions when they played Rhode Island.
That is correct. They do have 31 total takeaways this year.
Which is actually interesting. It's a lot.
And it's actually interesting because Wyoming is tied for second. So both these teams have taken the ball away a combined 61 times this year.
Jeez.
That's kind of absurd.
I get 11 is in two games. I don't care who you're playing, Rhode Island or whomever. If you can pick off a team six times, you're pretty good. And they've only allowed one touchdown a game, it looks like, I think. Just one TD per game.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, some teams had to kind of throw to catch up against this team, apparently, because they did give up five touchdowns in the last three games. Those same three teams, Eastern Michigan, Kent State, Northern Illinois. But at the same time, they also picked off eight passes. So, you know, there was, a lull in the middle of that MAC schedule, in the middle of the season, where, you know, even if teams weren't necessarily doing that much through the air, there were some teams like Toledo and Western Michigan that were able to do damage on the ground.
It's weird. You know, Toledo, no touchdowns allowed. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and late, it kind of seems like that was when the defense really started hitting its stride. Because it's not as though this Chippewas team doesn't have playmakers. Like, if you start up front, for instance, you get Joel Ostman, who, you know, probably one of the better defenders in the group of five. He does have 12 sacks, far and away the best on the team. And he does have 18 and a half tackles for loss. But, hold on a second. I'll pause now. And, you know, when you look at their linebackers, they have a couple of guys, you know, Alex Breon's 8.5 tackles for loss, 3 sacks. You know, Michael Oliver, Malik Fountain, both of those guys pretty steady, I think, overall. And in the secondary, they got Josh Cox, who picked off 6 passes, which is one of the best figures in the MAC. So Wyoming's going to have to be careful that, you know, even if they're not necessarily efficient, they can't give the ball away either. Because, you know, as we just noted, the Chippewas have been one of those teams that's more than happy to take advantage of that.
Well, you know, this could cause a problem. Because who likes to make ill-advised passes at times?
That would be Josh Allen.
Just saying.
I
mean, he hasn't played in a couple games. He might be, a little nervous. Not nervous, but just anticipatory. Wants to be back out there, anxious. And not to happen, but people know I'm not the biggest Josh Allen fan this year. But the way they can get the ball, Central Michigan there can pick him off. You gotta be careful there. So maybe get Austin Ford, James out there to catch some passes. Maybe C.J. Johnson. But you gotta make smart plays because both teams will get turnovers, so I'm wondering if this could end up being a low-scoring game because each team could, whatever, go 2-for-2 in turnovers, essentially, go even. So one thing that could come down to this game, like you mentioned, turnover battle, where each team likes to turn the ball over. They're very good. Like I said, Wyoming's number one turnover margin. And we discussed how Josh Allen, not the best at making the smartest decisions out there. So this could be a game. I'm thinking because of the way both defenses are and that they can create turnovers, that this might be like a low-scoring game because if you look at the over-under, it's about 45 points. That's pretty low.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that if you look at Central Michigan, you know, I mentioned this when we did kind of our first look podcast preview. They are kind of an all-or-nothing offense. And while, you know, kind of like the defense, they were putting it together, especially late in the year. On the whole, Shane Morris has been very hit or miss. Like, on the year, he's got 26 touchdowns, but he also has 13 interceptions. And, you know, his sack rate's a little bit better than Josh Allen's. But when you consider the playmakers that Wyoming has on their front four, you know, they've got, you know, guys like Carl Granderson, Johanna Guyfan, who... It wouldn't surprise me on both sides if the pass rush, you know, how well their rushers can get to the quarterback, whoever does it better ends up being kind of the biggest X factor in this game. And while the Chippewas do have a little bit better running game than the Cowboys do, it basically comes down to one guy, Jonathan Ward, who, you know, he does have nearly 1,000 yards. He does have 9 touchdowns. He does average right around 6 yards a carry. But he's basically it. They don't have anybody else that has made much of an impact besides, you know, a carry or two here or there. So if they could shut him down, force Morris to be one-dimensional, then I think that's where it gets really interesting, because if it's going to come back to turnovers, you know, you've got Andrew Wingard, Marcus Epps back there. You've got Rico Gafford, who, you know, had 4 interceptions of his own this year.
Logan Wilson.
You know, Logan Wilson, yeah. So I feel like the path to victory is oddly similar for both of these teams. It's just a matter of, you know, I think, you know, who's going to rush the passer better, who's going to make the offense more one-dimensional, and who's going to make a mistake first.
I think that's correct as well, because I think passing game, like, look at like what Central Michigan has. Like I said, if they're one-dimensional, I think they're okay being one-dimensional, because look at, like, the touchdowns they've had this year. Like, they have Corey Wilson has 9, but they throw the deep ball very well. They have three guys with 5 or more touchdowns. They have, well, at least half a dozen passes minimum. There could be probably more of over 40 yards in this game, or I mean from the season. They have plenty of guys who have, let's see, guys who have 10 or more catches. There's all but one have 13 yards per catch, or 10 yards per catch. So they're all getting the first down, except for like the running back, Jonathan Ward, who gets in this as well. He has 41 receptions on his own. And so they're more of like, he's like you said, like to go downfield, would say boom or bust or something earlier. They're going to go downfield. But I think if they are one-dimensional, I think Central Michigan would be okay doing that. They don't complete a ton. Like, both quarterbacks are about 55%. They both kind of look the same with the amount of touchdowns and interception ratio. But I think one of the edge would be receiving for Central Michigan, for just for what they have. Like, all these guys, they spread it around. 4 guys have 25 or more receptions. So they get the ball to all these players. And so if they're going to have to pass, if it comes down to who's going to pass better, I think the edge goes to Central Michigan.
That may be true. But I think one thing that can be instructive, you know, we just mentioned a little bit ago how the Chippewas do have the best pass defense in the MAC. But they've struggled against other really good pass defenses in the MAC. And so if you go by the numbers, you know, Toledo and Miami of Ohio ended up 2nd and 3rd by quarterback rating in conference play. And if you look at what Morris did in both of those games, he was well under 50%. He was under 6 yards per attempt, and he only had 2 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So I think if you're a Wyoming fan, that I think is a really good sign, because, you know, if he can beat up against good teams but struggle, or beat up against bad teams and struggle against good teams, I mean, we already know that Wyoming's a really good pass defense, and so yeah, it might just come down to, you know, if they make a mistake, are they going to be able to convert it? Because, you know, Wyoming in particular has given themselves quite an advantage as far as field position throughout the year. You know, they've on average started at around the 33-yard line, which a lot of that, I'm assuming, is owed to the turnovers they've been able to create. But they're just outside the top 50 as far as points per trip inside the 40. So I think that, you know, if they get, for instance, if Morris throws an interception deep in his own territory and Wyoming sets up shop at, like, let's say the 30 or 35-yard line, I think it could come down to whether the Cowboys can get 7 versus 3 or whether they can get 3 versus 0, because, you know, they've been a little bit hit or miss as far as that goes all year long.
Yeah, look at the Colorado State game. They got close a couple times. They finally broke through with the 1 Josh Allen touchdown, but they're settling for field goals. One quick note about Shane Morris. His best game of the year, have you noticed who that was against?
I did not.
The Kansas Jayhawks.
Oof.
467 yards, 5 touchdowns, 75% completion rate.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure every team in the Mountain West could beat Kansas.
I'm looking through. I'm like, okay, because yards per attempt, I see 5.9 versus Miami, Ohio, 6 versus Syracuse, 4.9 versus Toledo, and then I see the Poppin at 12.6 yards per attempt, 467 yards. But he can get in the end zone. But it's, you know, when they play bad teams, like, they played pretty well against him, which makes sense for a quarterback who's okay. So I think it's going to come down to, I don't know, because both defenses are pretty good. Like, I know it's kind of dumb to say both teams match up well, but they kind of do. They have similar tendencies, except I would say the running game obviously much better for Central Michigan than Wyoming. That's the big edge. But, like, the way they pass, they feel good at their completion rate, the touchdowns, interceptions are not that far from each other. They both create turnovers. They both have a solid defense. Like, there's a couple guys mentioned, like, who's the like Josh Cox has 6 interceptions. He has 4 games with over 9 tackles, 82 on the year, is all MAC last year, second team all MAC. And he had 2 interceptions last – or was that – sorry, not last week, a different game looking at. But – they have guys on this team that make plays. And it's dumb to say they're similar, but outside of the running game, they kind of are. And again, I'd probably give receiving edge to Central Michigan because they spread it out a bit more. But maybe this will be Austin Ford again. Touchdown to catch ratio is 1-to-1.
I mean, it could be. I just, you know, one last thing maybe before we get to predictions. I don't know if we're there at that point yet. But one thing, you know, you mentioned the fact that, you know, strength versus strength lines up in a lot of ways. You know, Central Michigan, we've talked about how they beat up on bad teams and they struggle against good teams. But, you know, by the explosive metric at Football Study Hall, they do rank 12th on offense overall, which I still think means something. But it's also going up against a defense in Wyoming that ranks 3rd in defensive explosiveness. So if this is one of those instances where it could come down to also the fact that, you know, if somebody can get behind the defense and, you know, catch like a 40 or 50 yard pass to set up a late field goal or something like that, you know, in that particular instance, you know, it's hard to say whether one team has the edge over the other, but that's something to keep an eye on because that's something that Wyoming themselves haven't really shown much at all this year. Like, they benefited from great field position, like I said, but on offense, they rank 113th in explosiveness on offense.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll get a prediction for sure. But it's, I don't know, these teams, like, explosive, that's a big deal because what these teams can bring either side of the ball doing that, it's Football Study Hall is rarely wrong. There's a reason. There's a market for people wanting to find all those fun numbers or diving deep more than yards per play or yards allowed per play. But one note as well, like, these two teams are sort of going in the opposite direction because Wyoming, like, look at the past couple of games. They haven't – part of it, Josh Allen's out, but they lost to San Jose State. They've lost 3 of their last – I guess 3-3 in the last 6, 2 in a row. Lost to Fresno, a close one. San Jose barely beat Air Force, who's not very good this year. Squeaked by CSU or Central Michigan. Haven't they won their last 4 games? Is that correct?
They've won their last 5 games.
Oh, 5 games. So they're kind of the hot streak.
And 6 of their last 7.
Yeah, and the one loss was to a pretty good Toledo team. So it's, they're, now, yeah, I could, and NIU's pretty good too, and so they're kind of going the opposite direction, but I'm wondering how much of a spark Josh Allen will provide for the team. It's his last game. He's not skipping out in the bowl game. He's healthy from the shoulder injury. Because this is also the time frame that I mentioned, AC joints take about 6 weeks, and then we're pretty much at that mark. And he's been practicing with the team for at least a week, maybe more, taking first-team reps. And so it's not like he's coming in cold. It's not like he's going to hopefully game time, split time with Nick Smith, but he's going to play. He's going to want to play, and I think he's going to want to do a lot in this game. And I'm just not too confident saying he's going to overexert himself, showcase himself. It's his last game because he hasn't officially declared, but he's – pretty much declared. He's as a foot up.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's not coming back, even though it's not official. Pretty sure it'll happen after the game or something, but I'm wondering how much he'll want to show off his Wyoming pride and just sling it and play as well as he can. But we see him wanting to do too much. Not just this year, but going. I mentioned a million times last year, multiple games last year, he'll make dumb plays, but he'll try to do too much. He'll try to run to get the extra yard or two when he should slide or throw it out of bounds or find the easy pass. Wondering how much do you think that could impact this game? I think there could be a good, he could be boom or bust this game. That's what I'm thinking, and that's why it's hard to predict.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you mentioned the fact that they're kind of going in opposite directions. I don't know that that's entirely accurate, if only because the defense has done its part pretty much all throughout conference play to keep them in games. It's been the offense's failures that caught up with them in the games that they lost. you know, not only in San against San Jose State, not only against Fresno State, but you know, they had a chance against Boise too, and the offense just never got it going. You know, they held Boise to 24 points, which, if I'm not mistaken, one of the better figures of any team in the conference this year. Like, Fresno State held them down a couple times. But, you know, holding that offense to 24 points, not an easy feat.
Yeah, every other game was 40-plus besides the Fresno and Wyoming games.
So, I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to say that if the Cowboys want to win this game, Josh Allen has to do better.
He will do better, I think. I think this will be a good game for him. I still think it'll be close because the running game is just, I'll say, just bad. It's not good at all. Because the odds of somebody doing whoever's going to run the ball and what they want to do, it's not going to be amazing. So I think it's going to be close. And before we get to predictions here, we had one question, which I didn't realize the answer until it came through Twitter now. Do you know the name of the potato mascot?
Oh, of course I do. It's Spuddy Buddy.
I did not realize that. I did not think about it until somebody nicely replied a message on here. You replied with something else. I put Tater.
I know. I was
dang,
joking.
You messed with me. I know. I just couldn't think about it. But it's Buddy Buddy. And then we mentioned this in our last show, I think. What's your favorite potato? Because we were going to discuss this.
Ooh.
And this could be. And this could be really quick. Hold on. I'll let you think for a second. It could be. Doesn't have to be French fry. It can be any sort of potato product, which could be. It could also mean the Idaho Spud candy bar that's in Idaho.
First of all, I've never even heard of that.
It's an Idaho thing. It sometimes trickles in Utah because I'm close by.
And secondly, I'm assuming I can't just say yes.
Okay, tell me this. What potato do you not like?
What potato do I not like? No, well, see, even I had some time to think about it. I couldn't think of a single thing that I didn't like.
Au gratin is not my favorite.
I like au gratin, all right, every once in a while.
We put a little...
But okay, so I'll tell you, because you were asking me what my favorite fry was, so I'll give
that
to you.
Let's go French fry. What's your favorite French fry?
Crinkle cut.
Crinkle cut. Plain or...
Crinkle...
So, oh, you mean not crisp cut, crinkle cut.
Crinkle cut. What? With a little bit of salt, a little bit of ketchup.
Okay.
That's all you need.
What type? Do you have a fast food place, or you get like the Orida, put in your oven, cook them yourself, deep fry them?
No, very rarely. They got to be from like a fast food restaurant. So, like there's a local place around here, okay, which if you're a Fresno listener, go to Triangle Drive-In. You will not regret.
Because okay. I'm just trying to think of that, because not many fast food places do the crinkle cut.
Exactly.
You got the curly fries at Arby's. You have Chris cut at Carl's or Hardee's, depending where you're at in the country. Jack in the Box does some really good curly fries, I think.
That's true. Rally's slash Checkers. I don't know if they have that.
I've been to Checkers maybe once.
They have seasoned fries. Pretty good.
You know what my best fry might be? Cajun Five Guys French fries.
Ooh. Okay, yeah. Also, Wendy's.
Okay, yes.
Wendy's has really
they are.
Good fries.
That's an underrated fry. Because my little boy's like, because he likes Five Guys as well. He likes plain, though. He's like, Dad, I think Wendy's is my favorite fry. I'm like, okay, that's a good choice. Because they added that sea salt recently to it, at least a couple years ago.
You're raising him up right.
Exactly. He likes Five Guys. He likes Wendy's. Good to go, right? Trying to think. I would say another fry that's pretty good is Carl's Jr.'s Cajun, or no, Carl's Jr.'s crisp cut fries. Because crisp cut's almost like a crinkle cut.
Nah.
No. Oh, tell me no.
Nah.
Let me ask you the definitive question, because people always say In-N-Out fries are very good.
That's because they are.
Okay. Just, I didn't know if you stood on that ground or not, if we're going to be friends still or not after the show.
Also, you got to go animal style.
Of course. Have you ever had...
Of course.
I know people say it's overrated. It's not very good. It's even though it's right across the street from my house, I still go occasionally. Not as much as I used to. Because when it's close by... It's easier. But have you ever had one last thing? Two last things here, because we're talking food, because we do before predictions. Have you actually ever tried a protein style there? Just lettuce wrap.
No.
It's actually worth it. It's really good.
No, why would I do that to myself?
Here's why I did it for a while. I, at one point, lost like 50 pounds, which is great. And I stopped doing that, so some has come back. But part of it was don't eat as many carbs. So I'm like, but I could have, like, I could make my meal essentially be fine and not worry about outside of like some carbs or stuff or limit. So I'm like, okay, I can have a burger, I can have cheeseburger, so I tried it. And the reason why it's actually pretty good, they actually put enough lettuce where it's actually worthwhile to make it yourself. Some places I used to try, I'm like, I'll try it here. Like, they'll put, like, two little thin pieces of lettuce, so it's, like, just a greasy burger. I'm like, that's disgusting. So, just wondering, if you ever get to Hankering, just give it a try.
Nah. I think
have you seen the tomato bun burger thing they have in and out?
No. Why would anybody
do that? That one just seems too messy. And too much tomato, right?
I don't even like tomato.
Well, that's a problem there if you don't like tomato. But I saw it because I was just looking for interesting things to eat that I could eat because can only have a certain amount of certain items. I'm like, no, it's not good. But same protein, if you ever want to, give it a try. But let's get to predictions.
Mm.
Oh.
Okay, let's do that.
Actually, my In-N-Out fries are good. Only complaint, they get cold too quickly, I think.
Thank you for listening to the Mountain West Wire podcast, your number one source for fry and fast food
talk. And it's not even off-season yet, so you're welcome. Because they're...
Anyway, yeah, but let's get to predictions.
Yes, predictions. We'll have plenty of time for nonsense. So this game, over-under, it increased a couple because it was a pick'em. It was -1 for Wyoming, now -3. So they're favored. Do you think there's any edge for being in Boise since they've played there before? Any edge whatsoever?
No, I mean, from what I understand, Wyoming has only sold, like, what, 1,000 tickets to the game?
Uh-oh. They're close.
I forget who put it. I think it was either Brandon Foster or Robert Gagliardi had mentioned they wanted to sell, like, 2,500, and they're right around 1,000 right now. So, I mean, I'm not thinking that there will be much of a home field advantage one way or the other. It just kind of, you know, is what it is with most bowl games.
Okay. No, true. I just kind of figured Wyoming, because Laramie to there, it's still a long drive, but still, if they're going to drive. And the over-under is 45. I'm going to pick Wyoming to win 27-20.
You think they'll score that much?
Sure. Yes. Okay, I think they'll get there. Because Josh Allen's going to want to step it up, and I think we'll have good Josh Allen, not bust Josh Allen.
Okay, first of all, give me the under.
Oh, the under, wow.
Because I think it's going to be an ugly game.
Especially if it rains, I guess, or snows.
I mean, I think that both of these offenses are going to have a really hard time getting traction. But I think that if I were going to trust one or the other, I would trust Central Michigan to be a little more balanced overall. I think they've shown maybe a little more ability to run the ball down the stretch than Wyoming's shown all season long. And if there's one thing that could make a difference in this game to take pressure off of, you know, quarterbacks on either side, it's going to be that. I think Ward is going to end up making a huge difference in this game. And I would take Central Michigan to win 14-10.
Wow, 14-10.
Yeah.
It's a little scoring affair there. All right, you say 14-10. I say 27-20. Maybe I'm thinking of special teams because they have Smith back there has a couple touchdowns this year. Maybe there'll be I'm going to pull out the tricks from last year where they get a defensive touchdown from like Wingert or Logan Wilson or a Carl Granderson handoff from the quarterback. Like, what game was that this year that happened in where basically it looked like a handoff? Was that Boise?
I'm trying to remember. No, I'm trying to remember what it was. I don't.
But I do remember him in the backfield. It looked like a handoff.
No, this is going to be a defensive street fight. I'm telling you right now.
Okay, that's fair. I think it will be, but I think there'll be a few more points than you're thinking. But that's what we got for this show. So hope you enjoyed food talk and bowl talk, Spuddy Buddy, and also gift bag real quick, some Oakley sunglasses, some an Under Armour backpack, and the much needed beanie, which you'll probably see on the sideline with it being 30 degrees during kickoff. Not bad. So check us out, MWWire.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn, and check out our other bowl recaps and previews we've been doing this past week or so. And get ready for afternoon football. And, again, ignore your boss and just watch football and say, who cares? Christmas is on Monday. It's the last day of the week. I don't care. I'm out of here. With that, we'll see you next time.